Money FM 89.3. Best of breakfast. Morning Shot.
Welcome to Morning Shot. I am Imad Akhtar. Singapore is proposing a set of amendments to designate critical entities in air, sea and land transport as part of efforts to guard against adverse influences and major interruptions in essential services. The bill was introduced in Parliament earlier this month, with its second reading expected in May, and if passed, the laws could be implemented in the second half of this year. In essence, the bill seeks to amend existing laws so that Singapore's transport authorities have more teeth when deciding which parties are allowed to own or have control over designated key entities. Now, according to the Transport Ministry, this review of sector-specific controls for the transport sectors complements the Significant Investments Review Act passed in January. For more insights, we're joined by Walter Tessera, Associate Professor for Economics and the head of the Master of Management Urban Transportation Program at the Singapore University of Social Sciences. Walter, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hi.
Now, first off, what kind of role does the transport sector play in Singapore's wider infrastructure ecosystem, just to set a bit of context here?
Well, transport services are actually largely privately supplied in Singapore. I mean, government takes a role in building the infrastructure and funding it. So, you know, government basically buys the trains, you know, creates the port infrastructure and so on. But actually, day-to-day, the operations are carried out by private or corporatized entities. That's because it's usually more cost-effective to have these provided by the private sector. So if you look at your bus services, your train services, public money goes in, but it's actually provided day-to-day by private companies. Mm. And it's an essential service. You know, if it doesn't run, then our economy and society grinds to a halt. So this bill is about managing this process. How do you take advantage of having the private sector operate the transport services while mitigating the risk from having it done privately?
Okay, now against that backdrop then, how important is it for the government to be able to exercise more control over ownership, operations and management of key transport firms here?
Yeah, so, you know, I think to set the context further, let's think back to how we used to operate these services, especially after independence. I mean, the key transport infrastructure and services were originally in government hands or directed by government. You know, when we started operating the MRT, it was actually run by a government-owned corporation. And so this issue of risk from private sector actions was not a big deal in the past.
Right.
But over time, we've actually opened up our transport sector to the private sector much more. We privatized SMRT, we introduced bus contracting, we've now got two foreign operators in the market. And you look at things like ports and airports, right? These are infrastructure which is operated in many countries by privatized international operators. So I'd say the norm very much internationally is these key transport services are operated by private entities, often multinational entities, and then you have these security and national interest concerns arising from that.
Now, what do you make of the timing of these proposed amendments? Could it perhaps signal that the government is going to allow more international firms into the market?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, if you look at transport services, like public transport especially, today it's largely provided by homegrown companies and a couple of carefully vetted new international entrants. I mean, Singapore, we have seen Tower Transit and Go Ahead recently enter the market to offer bus services. But why this is important is elsewhere, transport services are increasingly subject to global competition. So a lot of cities that have adopted private market contracting for bus and rail services, they generally allow multinational firms to tender and provide these services. And in fact, our own homegrown transport companies, you know, also participate in these tenders elsewhere. So, you know, this is important because it actually helps to increase intensity of competition. So it allows bringing in new operating concepts, new business models. And this is important because you want to have innovation and productivity. You want costs to be low. So generally, it's a good idea to open up the transport sector to international competition, but you got to manage the risk.
Yeah, I was just going to get to that point about the risks of opening up to international competition. Now, if more companies come in, what implications does that have on the competition on our other local firms in the industry?
Well, you know, for land transport, our bus services are already subject to this kind of international competition. Mm. We've got bus contracting. We have two new entrants come in recently. For rail services, as of yet, we don't have any international operators in our market. So we could obviously potentially open this up as we continue to add new train lines. We could have them tendered on by international operators as well. And for the air and sea sector, I mean, obviously the airlines, the shipping lines has already been internationalized since the beginning. But I think the bill is not about that part. It's more about whether the operations of our ports and airports, could they be also managed internationally? Currently, it's presently operated by Singapore government-linked entities, but this could also be potentially opened up in the future.
Okay, let's hone in on the public land transport sector in particular now. That's one area that affects a large proportion of the population. Would you say more competition in this sector would be beneficial for consumers when it comes to cost and choice? And also, given that we're such a small country, what would you consider too much competition when it comes to public transport?
Yeah, so the nature of competition in public transport is a bit different. You don't want competition to duplicate the service. So nobody really wants more than one bus operator offering exactly the same bus route. Instead, what you want is what we call competition for the market, where different operators compete to provide the set of bus routes, and they try to do so based on cost and performance. So that's how you have bus contracting, for example. So the question of how much competition you want is actually a bit of a tough one, because, you know, generally, transport operators have an economy of scale. So that means that they can deliver the service more cheaply if they have a critical mass of operations, you have a certain minimum number of bus routes or train lines. But you need some market contestation and entry. Otherwise, your incumbents may not have an incentive to be more efficient. So I think with bus services, we're right now trying to figure out, okay, what's the right number of credible players in the market? I think for rail, we're also thinking about, would it make sense to have a third operator besides the two incumbents? So these are things that have to be worked out.
Okay, let's go back to the question of the need to ensure Singapore's national security interests. Now, if I were to throw a hypothetical situation at you, what implications could there be if perhaps an international firm that comes in doesn't quite understand the lay of the land when it comes to our transport network needs? Where would this bill then come in handy?
You know, well, as transport services are actually very highly regulated, I think in the first instance, an international firm wouldn't enter the market unless there was some kind of government-orchestrated tender or privatization or exercise. So, you know, the necessary steps would actually already be taken to pre-qualify any international firm, you know, to evaluate their fitness and security risk if they're going to come in. But, you know, things change over time because, you know, some of these contracts are for, you know, years and years. Like, rail contracts are actually for decades quite often. So, you know, it would be possible to imagine a scenario where the ownership and control of the operators will change over time or circumstances change. So an international firm which providing this service in Singapore may be acquired or go through restructuring. And so that may mean that the security landscape will change over time. Any dispute that Singapore might be involved in might spill over somehow. So I think this bill is actually about being a safeguard against future risks or possibilities. You know, we don't want to use the provisions under this bill, but the provisions would be important if they are needed.
All right, Walter, thank you so much for digesting the contents of that bill for us.
Thanks.
That was Walter Tessera, Associate Professor for Economics and Head of the Master of Management Urban Transportation Program at Singapore University of Social Sciences. Stay ahead with Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at audio.sg or download the audio app. That's AWEDIO, audio at the App Store and Google Play.